Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to start by reading a verse out of Exodus, which you don't need to turn there. I will tell you this morning, I do have lots of scripture references if you want to keep a pen or pencil handy and write them down. In Exodus 14:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." This was soon after the Israelites had left Egypt, after they'd been delivered from bondage in Egypt. And they had come to the Red Sea. The army of Egypt was behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. On either side of them, the terrain was such that they couldn't make a very fast escape on either side. So they were trapped. They were boxed in. And they immediately began to complain to Moses and complain to God. They didn't like what was happening. They were afraid. And they said they wished they'd never left Egypt. They'd wished Moses would have just left them alone and let them be slaves. And if they would have had the option of going back, I think they would have taken it, but they didn't have that option. And so they complained to Moses, and Moses went to God, and God said, "Listen, tell them, go forward." I think the Christian life should be one of going forward. We get stuck sometimes. Sometimes people say, "Well, I feel like I'm in a rut." We don't even get in a rut. We just get stuck. And Paul said something very similar to this in Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said that, now remember, it was God the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write these. These are the words of God, not the words of Paul. We say Paul said them, Paul wrote them. He did, but they are the words of God. And first of all, he said, I haven't apprehended. And by that he meant I haven't arrived spiritually. Paul said, I've still got work to do spiritually. I still need to mature. I still need to develop. I still need to grow. I think it's pretty safe to say if Paul said that, we can all say the same thing. We've got work to do spiritually. And then he said, but there's one thing that I do. Now, he qualified it with a couple of other things before that. And I want to look at those three things. The one thing that he did is press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But before he mentioned that, he mentioned a couple of other things. First of all, he mentioned the past. I want you to look again at verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." I read that this week, and I got to wondering, what was those things? What are those things? Paul is forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past. Well, I came up with some things. First of all, we should forget our past sin. Now, listen, we need to learn from our mistakes, absolutely, and not repeat our mistakes, and certainly not repeat our sin. But sometimes we let our past sin, we remember our past sin, and we let the guilt from the past sin and all those things, we think it disqualifies us for Christian service. Oh, Pastor, I can't pray because, you know, I used to be a sinner. Or I can't sing because I used to be a sinner. Or I can't teach a class, or I can't witness, or whatever it is that we're supposed to do as a Christian. I can't do it because one time I committed a sin. Did you know that Moses was a murderer? You remember that, don't you? He murdered an Egyptian. Oh, say, no, he was defending his Israelite brother. Yeah, well, he murdered an Egyptian. He killed him, buried his body in the sand. And yet God used Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. You remember the story when the Israelites first came in to the promised land. Rahab was a harlot. You remember her? God used her to deliver or to protect those spies that Moses sent into Jericho, Joshua sent into Jericho. You can look through the whole Testament, the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, and it's full of people who were sinners that God used. All 12 of the apostles, 13 if you count the one who replaced Matthias or Judas, and 14 if you count Paul, all of them were sinners. To some degree or another, they were sinners. And yet God used those 12 men in particular to spread the gospel throughout the whole known world, to change the world. Paul, the guy that we're reading today, was a murderer of Christians. He persecuted the church. He said, Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. And yet God used him as the great first great missionary, and he used him to write much of the New Testament. Our past sin. Now listen, our forgiven sin does not disqualify us from service to God. As a matter of fact, our forgiven sin qualifies us. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sin, and His blood makes us worthy to serve Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, God said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When God forgives our sins, He forgets our sins. We need to forget them too. We also need to forget our past offenses. I've mentioned this several times, it seems like, lately. We're called upon by God to forgive those people who have wronged us, who've offended us, whether it's real or imagined, whatever it might be. We're called upon by God to forgive them. God has forgiven our sin, and He said, since I've forgiven you, you need to forgive others the way that I have forgiven you, and that's freely and completely. And then we just mentioned that when God forgives our sins, He forgets our sins. You know what that means? Oh, Pastor, I can forgive them, but I won't forget it. Well, you know what? We need to forget it. We need to forget those past offenses. I also think we need to forget our past suffering. We have a tendency. I think everybody, we all have a tendency to remember our suffering, even to revisit our suffering and suffer all over again. Have you noticed that? Sometimes I will go visit with people and I'll ask them how they're doing, and they'll start telling me about something that happened 6 or 7 or 10 or 20 years ago, some kind of pain and suffering that they endured all those years ago, and they revisit it and they go through it all over again. Oh, it was awful, and I felt. And a few months later, I'll go back and visit them, and I'll say, how are you doing? And they'll start at that exact same place. Revisit. Remember their suffering. We need to forget our suffering. We ought to be anxious and glad to forget our suffering. The Bible has a good bit to say about suffering, and I didn't really realize it until I started preparing for this message. There are going to be seasons of suffering in all of our lives. Life is difficult. Sometimes life is sorrowful. And so the Bible has some things to say about our suffering, and I want you to listen to what it says. First of all, our suffering is temporary. Now, I don't mean to minimize your pain. Please do not misunderstand me. I don't mean to minimize your pain or your suffering. I know sometimes the pain and the suffering we go through is great. But according to the Scripture, our suffering is temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The sufferings of this life may seem like they last forever, but they don't. They're just for a moment. That's what the Bible says. They're just for a moment, and then they're gone. Our suffering is also nothing to be compared to the joy that awaits us in heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul wrote those words, and I know, because I've had this happen to me, and I've thought it myself sometimes. Paul wrote those words, and we think, oh yeah, well, yeah, it was easy for Paul to say. Paul didn't go through what I'm going through. Have you noticed that we always think, I do, We always think our suffering is worse than anybody else's. Doesn't matter what they've gone through, mine is worse. If their little toe hurts, our big toe hurts. And since there's more area where there's more pain. It was easy for Paul to say that. What did Paul know? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 195 lashes with the whip. 3 was I beaten with rods. Roman rods were a bundle of flexible sticks that they bound them all together and they beat people with them. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned, and on that occasion, and not only was he stoned, but they thought they killed him. They left him for dead. 3 I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. That means he was in the ocean, literally in the ocean, not in a boat, but physically in the ocean for a night and a day. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. A few verses after those verses, it says, in addition to all of that, as if all of that isn't enough, he said, I had the care of the churches, the burden of the care, the concern, the love for the churches that he carried every day. You also know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh besides all of this. And he prayed and he asked God 3 times to remove the thorn, and God said no. But my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul knew about suffering. It's almost laughable for me to compare. It is laughable for me to compare my suffering with Paul's. And yet he said, by the inspiration of God, Paul said, the sufferings of this life in this time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. Our suffering is temporary, and our suffering is nothing compared to what we're going to have when we get to heaven. Paul then talked about the pressing. He mentioned the pressing. He talked about forgetting the past and moving on. And then he mentioned the pressing. In verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark. In verse 13, he said he was reaching forth and pressing. Those words carry the idea of effort, of work, of even of struggle, of labor, of energy. And Paul said, that's what I'm doing. That's the one thing that I'm doing. I'm forgetting the past and I'm pressing forward for the prize. You remember, I mentioned the Israelites and the Red Sea when we started this message. Something that I'd never thought about before. You know, we talk about the Israelites. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but God parted the water. Yes, he did. God parted the water of the Red Sea. But God didn't carry them across. God didn't miraculously transport the Israelites from one shore to the other. They had to walk. They had to carry their stuff. When they left Egypt, they had stuff. They didn't load it up in their cars. They carried it on their backs. They loaded it up in their carts. Some of them had to pull their carts. They had to put forth effort. They had to work. They had to labor. They had to give forth energy. They had to walk across the dry ground, which had been the Red Sea. God made a way, but they had to do their part. Well, God has made a way for every individual here and every individual in the world to go to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. If we confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, he will do that and he will take us home to heaven. But we have to do our part. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to live the Christian life. We must resist temptation. We must flee from sin. We must put forth the effort. We must press. We must reach out and sometimes struggle to live the Christian life, to do the things that God wants us to do. We must be faithful and obedient. We must do our best to be like Jesus. God will enable us. God will help us. God will strengthen us to do all those things. But listen, He's not going to do it for us. He'll part the water. But we got to walk across. We have to do our part. Paul said, I'm doing my part. I'm pressing toward the mark. And then he talked about the prize. Verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Most certainly, the prize he was talking about was when God would call him home to heaven. But there's more to the prize than just that. Sometimes, and what's that old saying, Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I think that's true sometimes. Sometimes we get so focused on heaven and what it's going to be and how much we want to be there that we forget we got to press. We got to work to get there. We got to struggle. We got to strive. Please don't misunderstand me. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of God. But it's our part to live the life. So Paul said, I press toward the prize. The prize is also a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, don't you think? Listen, when we confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, that's God, the Holy Spirit, indwells the believer. I can't explain it to you. All I can do is tell you, He comes inside of us. He possesses us. And He communicates with us. He helps us understand the Word of God. He helps us pray and communicate with God. He guides us, He directs us, He strengthens us, He does all those things for us. He's our constant companion. I think that's a pretty good prize, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people I can't talk to, a lot of people I'll never know, but I know Jesus. And I can talk to Him anytime. The prize is also an abundant life right now. I'm afraid that's another thing that we forget. Again, we get so focused on our sufferings. We live so much in our sufferings, our past sufferings, that we forget that Jesus came to give abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen, life with Jesus is better than life without Jesus. You know that if you're a Christian, because you've lived without Him and you've lived with Him, and you know with Him is better. Joy is greater with Jesus, and it's lasting. It's permanent with Jesus. Peace is greater with Jesus, and it's lasting. It's permanent. Mountaintops are higher. Valleys are easier to go through with Jesus. Life is better with Jesus. That's part of the prize, I think. The prize is also 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. The prize is, one of these days, folks, we're going to be like Jesus. The prize is 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 53, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on this incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Forever living in heaven. The prize is Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Amen. Oh, the prize is heaven for sure. Where there's joy and peace, where there's eternity with Jesus. But the prizes are also present with us today. Let's not forget them. Let's enjoy them. Let's press toward the mark. But let's enjoy the journey.